Dear Shooter, where do you take your friend, child, significant other to learn to use a firearm? The shooting range, right? That's got to be safe. Or is it? Idiots are everywhere, my friends. Things aren't always as safe as you might think.
It's not about protecting the stupid. It's just, it is what it is.
I don't know if you know this, but I'm a self-identifying llama. And it's because I have a quick temper and I like to spit.
You are not safe, and you are not sacred, and you're both liars.
We're talking about firearms, y'all.
Keep it clean.
I can hide one under there.
One what? I don't want to know.
I look like I got ran over by a paint truck on the way to Sherwin-Williams and then backed over by the short bus.
You know, let's talk about the modern trends in transsexual transitions.
Welcome to the Dear Shooter podcast. Dear Shooter is brought to you by WyoTech, empowerment through self-reliance, and by Lucid Optics, on target, under budget.
Well, happy Thanksgiving, everyone, and if you're with your family, God be with you, and may your turkey be moist, and your potatoes be real, and your cranberry come in log form.
You're not supposed to describe it as moist.
What is it, then?
There's a whole crew of people that hate that word.
I know. Why do you think I said it?
No, valid.
We're talking about ranges today, and just some of the idiot crap we've seen. Not necessarily with shooters on the range, but just ranges themselves.
You know, the biggest problem about ranges is people. People cause ranges to be unsafe.
Right.
If there were no people, ranges would be perfectly safe.
Well, yeah.
But with that said, yes, no, we see all kinds of really dumb stuff.
Right.
Both in the implementation of safety constructs, the operation thereof, range officers or not, the range being used for a purpose of which it was never intended to be designed to be used for.
Oh, you mean like one of the ranges that I teach at, and there's bullet holes in the bathroom?
Yes. That range specifically is one of those that's on my radar.
Yeah.
I've done range evaluations on that range and several others, and if you look... The structures will tell you the story of what's going on.
Now, is it because of lack of ROs or?
I think there's a inherent complacency when people visit a range and there is no RO on site. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm the first to really have an RO get under my skin because he's a Nazi. But ranges are safer for having them on site. They bring awareness to somebody's watching. So, mind your manners. And even if they are Nazi-like, they are trying their best to keep the environment safe.
Well, I think there's a balance to be struck there, though, too.
There
because
is.
ROs, yes, I agree. Some shooters, they do need the FUD put on them. But at the same time, ROs have to be intelligent about things like range design and how ranges are constructed and built and maintained to be able to know what's safe, what's not.
And it comes back to an education piece or a training piece for me, because a lot of the times in the modern times where we are today, the guys that are going to the range are first-time gun handlers,
mm-hmm.
not even owners. They've rented that thing. They've got their hands. And they truly don't know etiquette. They don't know safety protocol. And... it's all pretty common sense, but unless you've been shown or instructed in it, it can be kind of alien.
Okay, I'm sorry. Etiquette, safety protocol, what with the bullet holes in the bathroom? That should just be common sense.
I completely agree with you. And the bathroom, mind you, is 180 degrees from the firing line.
Right.
So,
I've seen it all the time. You go under the awnings, under the covers over the benches and stuff, there's bullet holes in those. Indoor ranges, there's bullet holes in the wall.
Yeah.
There's skips off the floor.
Yep.
There's skips off of the ceiling tiles. It's like, how do you do that?
Well, we're talking about indoor range. Typically, that's a 25-yard environment.
Right.
That is from shooting position to backstop.
Right.
If you have skipped the round 25 yards off the ground, that's impressive.
Uh-huh.
I mean, truly. And if you've let one loose into the ceiling panels in that same 25 yards,
yeah,
when you're hanging a target maybe at 10 yards, that's impressive.
Well, some people would say, hey, you know, that was an accident. It didn't mean to happen. But where does that stem from?
Ah, okay, so doctrine. I'm getting my soapbox just for a little second. Sorry about it.
It's a short box.
He has stairs.
My box is taller than your box.
Has to be.
Has to be. That's right. But when it comes to firearm safety, there is no accident. It's negligence. No matter which way you look at it, you don't get to go, oops, sorry. This is not one of those environments where accidents happen. Negligence happens, sure.
That's right.
And I've said it before. There are two types of shooters. One who has had their ND and one who will.
Mm-hmm.
And ND stands for negligent discharge. Meaning that firearm you were handling went off in a manner in which you did not intend.
Right.
It happens. But for the lion's share of us, it teaches you a lesson.
Mm-hmm.
You learn from it really hard and really fast. And for me, it was a very embarrassing, very humbling, terrifying moment in my life that I will never recreate because it scared the crap out of me. And I was no rookie to handling firearms. If somebody asked at the time, I'd tell you, yeah, I know what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
And I made a very simple, complacent mistake. But it was my negligence
mm-hmm.
that led to that shot going off.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't an accident. I can't say that anything else other than me had responsibility for it. So it was negligence. It was all my fault.
Well, we talk about that all the time with the big picture rule. Like, you know, you're an adult handling a firearm, and you are responsible for every round that leaves that muzzle.
That's right.
Okay, every so round. Firearm accidents, y'all, do not happen in a bathroom. There are other kinds of accidents. But firearm accidents don't happen in the bathroom.
Wait, what's interesting about the bathroom that you're speaking? These rounds didn't come from inside the bathroom.
No, yeah, oh yeah, no. They were the bathroom was shot at.
Again, not an accident.
No, not an accident. And also, just for you hillbillies out there, that's not funny when your boy's in the bathroom. Don't shoot at the bathroom. That's bad. That's not funny.
No, it's not. It might scare the crap out of him.
Yes, you won't need to go for a week.
So you had another pretty crazy thing shot up at the last one you walked through?
Yeah, from one visit to another. So I typically do range evaluations. I go on-site visit, and I get a feel for how its operation is run, and I see the signage is put in place, if they have ROs or not. And then I look at the condition of the backstops and berms and overhangs and things, looking for evidence of errant behavior, right? And pretty quickly, you can determine whether the ranges are run properly with safety in mind or if they're kind of left to their own devices. And on my first walkthrough, standard aging range, there's been a lot going on over the years. So my laundry list of probably should fix is pretty long. And I go back on my second visit to see the environment in a different time frame, a different season. This time it was much colder when I went this time than it was the previous time, which actually helped me out on the shotgun range, and I'll get to that in a second. But it was on the shotgun range where there is a brand new hole in the awning. And I don't know if they have a safe, determined direction to hold your muzzle on this range because nobody's described that in the range rules. But clearly this was a 100% ND straight north through the awning with a shotgun. Now it's a shotgun. The shot fall on that's not incredibly forecasting, and terminal velocity on typically number 7 or number 8 shot, it's annoying, but it's not injure creating.
I've been showered with it from about 100 yards, and you know it's happening, but it's.
But I will tell you, if you were the guy holding onto that shotgun, it scared the crap out of you.
Mm-hmm. He didn't know until I started
screaming.
He had
no idea until it went. And they didn't tell anybody either, because when I mentioned it today to the range management, they had to go see it, because they had no idea it happened either. That's a problem.
Yeah.
So anything that happens on your range, you should know about.
Right.
Anything.
Well, that goes back to having ROs.
Well, ROs, cameras, mm-hmm. A responsible membership that's going to go, I did this.
Right.
Right. One of the ranges I used to run, we would have the person who made the ND sign it for everybody to see. And some people really didn't like doing that, but if they wanted to come back, they signed their ND.
Right.
It makes you learn that lesson a little bit deeper, and everybody else looks over and goes, well, geez, if Frank can do that, he's one of like the top guys around the shop here. Anybody can. So mm-hmm. that inherent brings that I need to be responsible for my safety and the safety of others
right.
while I'm at the range. Just like driving. You get in a traffic situation, do you drive for just you?
No.
No. You can't.
But that's a possible ND, which is still bad.
Sure.
But I'm talking about the electrical panel.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
So I've been on a couple ranges where shotgun ranges specifically, where the electrical panel has been shot. This is the thing that runs the throwers and the lights and that kind of thing, loudspeaker. On a few of the ranges, it was done on purpose by a neighbor because they didn't like the noise from the range, which is a whole separate problem
yeah,
altogether.
That's a different thing.
And some of these were just straight, I wonder if this will. Curiosity, and it's the reason you see road signs shot and
right.
stupid stuff.
Well,
happening.
Wasn't this one? This was like on the back wall of a classroom.
Yes, that was a law enforcement range actually, and yeah, it was on the back side of the classroom. Somebody shot the electrical box.
And was that anywhere near the range, or did they have to walk around the building to shoot said box?
So it was in the classroom. So the classroom set at the very very front at the administration side of the range. And so they had to come off of the range with a hot weapon to accomplish that. So I'm going to say it was intentional. I can't see too many NDs unless they were trying to go to the bathroom outside the classroom by the electrical box and have that freak accident go through the process. I don't see that situation happening. More than likely, somebody was playing grab ass and fumbled their weapon.
Or we just shot at it because we could?
Completely plausible, yes. But the point here is when you walk onto a range, before you even get your gear out, kind of look around. Pay attention to who's there, who the cast of characters are, what they're shooting, how they're conducting themselves. Is an RO on site. Introduce yourself. Say hello.
Mm-hmm.
Some ROs will blow you off as if they're too important for you. That's fine. Let them be that guy. Some ROs will be like, wow, that was nice. And they'll ask you if you need help. They'll get you targets. I mean, they'll sweep your brass up. They're there to help, really.
Mm-hmm.
And the more of that type of contact and you handle yourself a certain way, you won't become that guy real quick that doesn't get asked back.
Right.
Right? And so that observation, though, provides you that perspective and space to know, is this a day where I pack up and go home? Or is this a day I get out and I go do some work?
Well, and it's not just on your own. This happens in formal situations, too. I was doing a class 2 years ago, and I remember when I got home from this class, I was cleaning everything up, and I happened to look and realize there's a light in the top of my trailer. And someone had torched one off inside the trailer. And I know what class this was. I don't know who it was, but I know what class it was. And I think the reason that it wasn't super apparent, it was because it was air guns.
Yeah, that would have been quieter.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the straight up, should not have been handling that air gun inside the trailer.
Right.
Interesting. And I was like, you have a light on in your trailer. Your trailer doesn't have lights.
Exactly. Huh. I was getting this little sunlight. I'm like, huh, what? I get looking a little bit further, and I get up on top, and you can see where there was an exit out the top.
Mm-hmm. The laws of physics are pretty obvious when you start to see them applied to sheet metal and plywood and things like that. You know what happened.
Yeah. Oh, I know exactly
what
happened.
You may not know the exact circumstances of how that got to be there, but you know what happened.
Oh, yeah.
But so the handlies in manners and ways that are unsafe like that away from people. What happens on the firing line, Mr. Instructor? I mean, truly.
So the way I mitigate things is when I teach my classes, we have two safe directions, and that is either downrange or at the ground. If you are coming off the firing line, your gun is either slung or in a holster. Your hands are not on it. And we don't do, we're not administratively handling our guns. We're not fixing malfunctions. We're not, you know, doing whatever we need to do to a gun off the firing line. If we need to fix a malfunction, if we need to lube a gun, if we have an issue whatsoever, I take that person individually to the firing line and we address it there.
That's probably fair.
The one exception I have to that, and this is something that I have gone rounds and rounds and rounds with Appleseed about, is long range. That is the only class where I permit a muzzle up as a safe handling direction. And my reasoning for that is some of these guys are bringing some pretty long guns. You can't really go muzzle down with them.
And that's probably a fair statement.
But it's also, you're not transporting unless magazine out, bolt open.
And that's fair. That's pretty much standard for NRL, PRS, those type of activities, which are really safe just by the nature of how they're run. But to have a muzzle down as your safe direction, you have got to be working on a non-hard surface.
Yeah, and that does change if we're on any kind of a concrete surface.
So the law enforcement range I've been on quite recently has an asphalt surface.
Okay.
And there are lots of human-made potholes at the firing line.
I've seen a lot of those. I've seen tons and tons of skips on indoor ranges.
I'm talking about reholstering issues.
Oh, my God.
The skips are one thing. That's during an action firing situation. I'm talking about straight down, not safe at the feet. Because asphalt spalls.
Yep.
And little itty-bitty rocks moving really, really fast aren't much nicer than bullets.
No.
But again, your environment plays.
And it sucks, too, because I always push that, right? When I'm teaching self-defense classes, I always talk about the fact that there is never a reason for you to reholster quickly without looking, you know, and I always make a point of saying that. Look the gun back into the holster. Make sure that way is clear. Because a lot of these guys are coming in with concealment holsters. You know, I make that exception for law enforcement specifically because they may have to reholster their weapon while they're going hands-on with a suspect.
Correct.
However, most law enforcement, I say most because you have your detectives, you have your undercover guys, but most of these guys that are going hands-on, arresting a subject, they have a 5-gallon bucket on their hip to put their gun in.
And it has class 3 retention.
Right.
But
just you're still talking about reholstering. There's a lot of things that can dangle and grab that trigger when it's going in.
That's right. But on a law enforcement range where civilians don't get to go, this is a very specific environment. And I'm seeing these things as evidence, which indicates that there is some complacency going on in their training episode.
I've seen that on a lot of law enforcement ranges. I've worked on one actually not too far from home where the berm is 50 yards back from the target line. Now, it's relatively safe because it's up against a giant mountain. Like, those rounds really aren't going to go anywhere, but if they do, and it's very rocky, very gravelly back there. So the chances of this thing changing directions are pretty significant.
Well, and you're bringing into an issue of containment.
Mm-hmm.
So not all containment situations are necessarily a safety problem. They are all liability problems. And in the world we live in, any round that leaves your range has the potential for being a very toxic, liable situation.
Mm-hmm.
So any round that leaves your range. So the activity in which you conduct on the range needs to be suited to the range's mechanics. If you have a 12-foot high berm, you're doing navel size height shots. If you have a 20-foot high berm, you can do head and chest high stuff.
Yes, but you have to make sure the targets are up against the berm.
I completely
agree.
And
that's something that drives me crazy at one of my local ranges, because the firing line, the berm may be 50 yards back from the firing line. Well, you can move up to the berm. That's totally okay. But they choose to put their target 12 yards off the firing line and shoot, and now they're skipping rounds off the range. I don't know how many people I've sat down and showed them exactly what's going on, going, hey, put your targets up against the berm.
Correct. Laws of physics still apply.
Right.
The eyebrow situation. If you have a backstop that's shorter than your final backstop, you can have a target-specific eyebrow backstop.
Right.
It doesn't have to get in the way of everybody else shooting. But if you're going to do the short from the firing line to a far backstop, you're going to cause a skip.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it leaves the range or not comes to how tall that backstop is.
Right.
The better course of action is to put that eyebrow in place.
Yeah, or just move up.
Or just move up.
You know, that... You talk about complacency. A lot of this is just flat laziness. People don't want to do the work to walk their target 50 yards.
I will tell you that a lot of folks don't even think about it. This is how their dad did it. This is how grandpa did it. This is how they were shown how to do it on this range.
I think you're right. And as soon as they walk onto a range, they just assume because I'm shooting downrange, it's safe.
Correct. And a lot of folks have that mindset of, well, they hit the target.
Right.
They don't think about that it travels through the target.
Yeah.
Paper doesn't stop these things.
No, not very well.
And that's the whole point behind how the range is built.
Now, depending on how thick your paper, it might stop a 45.
Nah.
Only if it's wearing a Carhartt.
Because that's one of the things we do. You know, I started doing that the last few years in classes is... Because people get so used to, well, I see the holes in the paper, right? So I've stopped the threat. But what they, and it's a psychological thing. I saw the holes. What to try to get them to understand when you're dealing with a live target, it's wearing clothes. So I'll take an old T-shirt and put it over the target and go, okay, now, where were your hits? And they don't know because all they see is flapping fabric.
Correct.
So what it's trying to reinforce is you're not looking for bullet holes. You're looking for a change in behavior.
Correct. That's totally a valid thing. Most training environments, ranges, don't have a range that's going to accommodate that.
No.
A lot of the times in a formal range, if you try and put something other than a piece of paper downrange, they are going to get you stopped. They're not going to be able to do that kind of thing.
Well, that's
special permission and accreditation with your credentials are going to allow you some latitude. But average Joe, you're not going to get to do that.
Yeah, you can't do that as the average Joe.
No.
But there you go. Like, they're right there. It's things like that. There's your incentive to go take a class.
Correct.
Because you get to do things that you otherwise wouldn't be able to do.
And I'm a big advocate. If you're going to go to a range and you've never been to that one before, go look at it and go watch a little bit first.
Mm-hmm.
You will decide real quick whether it's a safe operation or just not for you.
Have you ever packed up and left?
Yes.
Because of an unsafe situation?
Absolutely right.
And,
I have.
And how did you handle that?
Well, so I didn't call this one out. I was in Vegas, and we went to an after-hours media event. And there was a guy there that was allowing non-U.S. citizens, which in their country's culture don't handle firearms, handle fully automatic MP5s. Nice firearm. Not a beginner's firearm.
No.
And when you hit the giggle switch on that one, it'll empty a mag in no time at all.
Right. As it's forcing you straight up.
Mm-hmm. Or you're giggling and you're turning to watch and see if your friends are watching you. This guy painted an entire... He was by himself, with him and the RO,
mm-hmm.
but he painted the entire lane in half of the sidewall
as
he went to turn to see if everybody was watching him run this gun. And the RO had lockup. He couldn't believe what he just saw and did nothing about it until the mag was empty. Damage was done.
Right.
You can grab shoulders. you can point them downrange. You can take control of that firearm. As a trained RO, these are things you were taught how to do.
But there's, okay, there's the operative word there, though, trained RO.
This guy was a professional, did it for a living.
Right.
I would make the assumption he was a trained RO.
Well, I've seen time and time again, supposedly trained guys. I mean, and I see instructors all the freaking time. Their student will do something just absolutely stupid, and exactly as you're saying, they just lock up, or they step back, or they're afraid of them. And I get it. There's that fear of, crap, I don't want to get shot, but grab their hands. Keep them downrange.
Keep it downrange.
Like, you as an instructor have a responsibility to your students, to yourself, to the range, to the other people that aren't even in your class, to keep everybody safe. So I always say, safety is the responsibility of the instructor.
And I spooled my entire crew, and we left the party early.
I don't blame you.
Party pooper, what, I'll buy drinks someplace else. But that was not cool.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I've packed up and left ranges.
Mm-hmm.
I've also sat and watched and then commented a little bit and get the ROs moving again. They're good ROs. They've seen 10,000 people in the day. They're tired. And that's something that should be taught as well. There's a fatigue factor where you can only pay attention to that level for so long.
Right.
Same thing with lifeguards. You watch them swap out on the tower. There's mm-hmm. a reason for that.
Mm-hmm.
It's not because they're not a good lifeguard. It's because they've been up there for too long. It's time to pull them.
That's no different. It's snipers. Like, they don't keep them on glass for more than about 15 or 20 minutes because you get that fatigue.
Mm-hmm.
And now you've lost focus.
Correct.
So, same thing.
It's not just the idiots on the range. It's how it's set up. So there's a range that you go to often. And from the pistol bay, where you're shooting into the berm of the pistol bay, you can see the outhouse.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
Right in the line of fire.
Well, worse yet, there's another one that I refuse to go to, where if you're on the pistol range and somebody on the rifle range stands up, you can see their head over the berm.
Poor design. Straight up poor design. And you can mitigate that with scheduling. You don't let anybody on that pistol range, whether somebody on the rifle range.
Mm-hmm.
You could have solved that design by having the people on the rifle range be on the same ground level and behind the berm completely.
Right.
Not at the top level.
Right.
So geometry is a thing. And in practice, it can save your life. But you've got to be paying attention to understand what you're looking at.
Right. And that, okay, so that's where it goes to, though. Like, it's a lot of the responsibilities on you to pay attention for and try as much as possible mitigate those circumstances that might put you at risk.
Yeah, absolutely right. Deal with professionals, guys that know what they're doing. They're going to come across as crusty because they deal with people all the time, and people inherently don't want to be watched and or told what to do.
Mm-hmm.
But you're in a range situation with other people that you may or may not know. You need some supervision.
See, and this is the crap that drives us to drink.
Correct.
And 10th Mountain? I mean, we have got to thank our sponsors.
Oh,
because,
yeah.
Look, these guys take care of us.
In more ways than they probably know.
They introduce some sanity into the world. I actually, I'm trying something a little new tonight. I tried a little bit of the brandy.
And over ice, how is that?
You know what? I'm kind of impressed.
Really?
Yeah. Little ice, it just opens it up.
Nice. All right. So maybe that's my next pour.
Something different. Like, I mean, I don't know.
All right.
We've had brandy kind of under the weather the last few days, so I'm trying to change it up, help her rally.
I'm not rallying.
Not rallying.
And then you're gonna throw her in a car for 2 days.
Well, you know. She can sleep.
Who drives to Arizona?
Me.
You fly to Arizona.
Okay. Have you tried to get a flight lately?
Well, it is Thanksgiving, and that's an idiot's errand.
Well, if you can get one. I cannot get a flight. I've tried to get two flights out of Riverton, out of Casper. Can't be done. They don't exist.
As in, like, they're all full? Or?
I don't know, but there's none available.
Weird, because I drove by the airport today, and I'm sure there was people at it.
Well, I'm sure they're just full, but when was the last time an airline didn't oversell a damn flight?
I've never been on one.
Oh, yeah, you have.
No, that didn't oversell.
Oh, yeah, exactly. So, come on. So, yes, driving to Arizona, and maybe, if I take the right route, I'll go right by 10th Mountain. I'll pick some up.
Do that. I think you should.
But, look, they're taking care of us. They want to take care of you, too. Deer Shooter at checkout, 15% off, and they're shipping to, what, all but like 4 or 5 states now?
Something like that. I would just check and see if you can get it first. I mean, you never know.
Right. And if you can find it local, find it local. And if you can't, ask your local dealer to carry them.
It's worth it. It really is.
So, all right, safety on ranges.
Yes, sir.
This stuff goes beyond the iPro, EarPro, keep your finger off the trigger kind of stuff.
It's self-awareness.
I like that.
Self-awareness is a big, big portion of it. Observation, your situational awareness is probably even more so. But there are some things that you can do to keep from being a problem. Case your firearm. You know, when you get to your bench, okay, uncase it there. Travel with your firearm with the bolt out. Mm-hmm. That precludes any way for you unloading a hot firearm. It just can't happen.
Right.
Don't put your magazine in until you're situated at the bench ready to fire.
Good one.
Just simple things that should be common sense, but if you've never handled them before, or you went with your buddy that was a little complacent, maybe he didn't do it that way, think about the other folks around you.
Right.
They don't want you to be unsafe.
That's why I said self-awareness, too, because it may not be you causing the problem. Look around.
That's
you
right.
may want to go.
Well, that's kind of exactly where I was going to go with that. It's like you may see some of these things, and I get it. A lot of the things that we do, it's kind of a monkey see, monkey do situation. But if you know better and your buddy's, like, doing something stupid, number one, call him out, but don't follow his lead.
No, absolutely right. If you're done shooting, open your action and step away from the bench. Mm-hmm. Every good range I've ever been on has a red line painted on the concrete. And if you stand behind that, unless you're Andre the Giant, you can't reach your firearm.
Right.
So, obviously, you are waiting for a ceasefire to be called, the range to go cold, so you can go inspect your target. Some ranges have target carriers that come to you.
Mm-hmm.
Prevents any of those situations from happening. Just be aware of what others are doing, too, because you put these ear pro on, and you put these eyes on, and sometimes, you know, they give you tunnel vision. And without senses like ears and being able to see in your blind spots, your peripheral vision's compromised. That tunnel vision's a real thing.
Right.
Turn your head. Look around.
Well, and I see this a lot because I'll see guys that are coming to the range. They're going to practice with their carry firearm. So they got to get to the range. They have to unload their duty ammo to load their training ammo. Do that at the bench, guys. Don't do it at your car.
Yeah, do that at the bench. You're not saving really any time in the grand scheme of things. And it's just that fiddle with the firearm makes everybody nervous. Because
mm-hmm.
inevitably, you're going to turn that at an angle that's just a little too tight of an angle to the guy next to you.
Right.
So don't do that.
And you forget what you see in Hollywood. That's not how this works.
A lot of the times, no.
They're
getting better.
So here's a little teaser. I had a conversation today, and I'm hoping early next year, into January, beginning of February-ish, we might have someone rather famous from TV on our show.
Outstanding. I like it.
Talking about that specifically, you know, the differences between firearms in Hollywood and TV versus real life. Because
the way that they handle them on set is completely different than anything we would ever allow on a range.
Right.
They're different firearms.
They are.
And should be with the level of what we can do in post these days.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, the safe handling thing, when I see somebody on a TV show, movie, whatever, that has good trigger discipline, that has proper handling skills, I actually get into the movie a little bit better.
Mm-hmm. And I will say, this person came and trained with me, and I watched the show that they were in. I don't want to tip this off too much, but I was really impressed. And when we started working, whereas, you know, real life versus what's on set, what's in a script, you know, I made the comment that, you know, other than some nuances and some fine tuning, they've got it pretty well.
Then they've got a good armor.
They do. And one of the things that they said to me was that even on set, just that extra factor to avoid a Baldwin. put it to me that way, too. They said that, you know, even when we are supposedly pointing guns at other people or whatever, we're always trained to point to the side off of them.
And with camera angles,
you're never going to know.
The story's just as good.
Right. But I appreciated all of those factors that they took into safety.
Yeah.
Even though none of it's live.
Yeah, no, an RO on a TV set or movie set is Nazi times 100.
Mm-hmm. And they have to be.
They have to be. And the director's good. He lets that guy have the latitude because the product's better for it.
Right.
You look at what happened in the John Wick series. He started out in John Wick 1.
Mm-hmm.
I thought the handling of firearms was phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
It was real. It was purposeful. It was trained. And then I learned he went to school.
Yeah, and I remember the first time I watched it, and I had to watch it again. The second time I watched it, I actually paid attention. The round counts on those guns were right.
Yeah.
I mean, they were changing mags at the appropriate time.
And they reload, and it looks real. It elevated the story for me,
mm-hmm.
because now I'm taking this guy seriously.
Right.
He wasn't just some Hollywood beefcake guy that they chose because he looks good.
Well, I mean, come on. We grew up watching the 80s movies, Rambo. And
I can't watch them anymore. I cannot.
Don't get me wrong. Like, I can't remember what it was that came on. And, you know, late night. I think it was First Blood. You know, the original Rambo, when he was in the jungle. And, yes, the gun handling and everything was ridiculous. But it was like, you know, the story's still good.
The story's good. But you live with this stuff enough, you start to very normally see the wrong stuff, and that's all you can see.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a problem for me. I know I should seek help, but it's a real problem.
It is, and you know, and even Brandy and I, and I've had people that I've trained that do this too. A gal that I had this spring in a class, it was her first time ever even shooting. And now she's driving her boyfriend nuts because they can't watch a movie together because she's criticizing the gun handling.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, and because now she knows the difference.
Right.
It's a big deal.
I love it, though. I think it's better for Hollywood because I think Hollywood's starting to figure this out. And like you said with John Wick, they're starting to pay more attention to it.
Well, what I was impressed with most of anything else, it wasn't the studio or the director or the producer, it wasn't any of those folks that said, hey, John, you should go train for this role. He read the script, and he went, there's going to be a lot of gunplay. I don't want to look like an idiot, because he's a smart guy. He knows that translates to him later.
Mm-hmm.
He went and got training.
Oh, yeah, probably because he was looking at it going, I don't want this to look like The Matrix.
Yeah, he's been there, done that.
I mean, let's face it. I thought The Matrix was great, but the gun handling in it was terrible.
Horrible. Absolutely horrible. But impressed. He went to school. I think if more of those action stars would go to school,
mm-hmm.
the work product would be 10 times better.
Well, what I'm seeing more and more, they are, and I think it's because, especially, and I think John Wick, Keanu Reeves, I think he really opened the door for that. Them seeing the value in real life training,
agree, which opens the doors for guys like you,
right?
Because your now business card should be in front of a lot of these folks,
mm-hmm.
And you're nimble enough to be able to travel. I think you should maybe look at adding to your resumes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. There's going to be a lot more things going up on the website this year.
Good.
And I'm hoping to attract some more of these very, very discreet classes.
Good.
So things are going well.
That's a good news. I look forward to seeing some of the stuff you're going to be doing first of the year.
Yeah, me too. I know my guys from Mexico have decided they want to come to wonderful Windy Wyoming and train.
Well, that'll be fun.
That will be fun. I think it's going to be a wake-up call to these guys, because when we taught the long range there, we only had about 300 yards. So the concepts are there, but, you know, we had a three-minute target at 300 yards. It's kind of hard to miss if your fundamentals are solid at all. I think when I start throwing these guys on one-minute targets at 1,000 yards, it's...
It should be eye-opening.
I think it will be.
I hope we define what the courses are, because there's short course, there's mid-range, and then there's long range, and then there's ELR.
Yeah, this is mid to long. I mean, we tap out at about 13.
Okay, all right. So you're going to run the mid-course to long range.
Yeah, mid to beginning of long. Most of these guys are running 6.5s.
So for most folks, this is something they've never done or had the opportunity to, because they don't have the environment to do it in.
Exactly, exactly. I mean, when I was down there, I was in Guadalajara, middle of the jungle. We were lucky to get 300 yards.
How far can you normally see?
300 feet?
Yeah, maybe.
But yeah, no, it's, you get into the jungle and yeah, you don't. You're navigating by flashlight in the middle of the day.
Yeah.
So, but... cool group of guys. I'm excited for it. And then, we'll see where it goes from there.
All right. Well, when you do that and you need an RO, I'm probably going to be available.
Good, because 16 guys on the line.
Yeah, you're going to have your hands full.
Yeah. I mean, the nice thing about that class is there's only ever 8 people shooting at any given time. But
you got to break them into spotter spares, though.
Yep. That's okay. Good. Exactly. So everybody's being watched.
Back to that supervision.
Yeah, exactly. And teach them to supervise themselves. That's a big part of the class. But
yes.
So I guess we won't keep everybody any longer. Sorry if this wasn't a long enough reprieve from the chaos. But I hope everybody has a wonderful, wonderful holiday. Safe travels if you are.
Situational awareness. Pay attention.
Yes. And... we'll be back next week, and I guess in this case, keep blaming the cranberry log.
Valid.